All right, welcome to the latest episode of Nerds with Attitude podcast. What's up, nerds?
What's up?
As always, I am Kevin, and today I'm joined by...
Hey, this is Scott.
Hey, Dave's here, guys.
And on the line, we have very special guest, author Dan Klingensmith. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yes, Klingensmith.
Okay, good.
Perfect.
Don't worry. It gets massacred all the time.
Gotcha. So we have Dan here. We're going to be talking to him about Volume 6 of your new book. And let's just dive right in, man. You just launched your Kickstarter, which we will have a link to in this episode. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what's in store for Volume 6? What's the title called? Because I always screw it up. So you say it right the right way.
Oh, I screwed up too. Don't worry. 3.75-inch Joe, the Special Forces team that forged an American hero.
Right. That's, I can never say that, even
wow.
Reading it in front
that
of me.
That is a mouthful.
I know the second part, you know what, it's one of those things that you can't really go back and change.
At least everybody know what they're talking about when they mention your book.
Yeah. Right.
That's right.
So really, we do just refer to them as the 3.75 Joe books.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it. That's usually what happens, because I've had a couple of Hasbro guys do some testimonials, and they always have to like look at the book and try to figure out the second portion of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So your Kickstarter, as of recording this, is out. It's been live a couple of days. By the time this podcast drops, the Kickstarter will be probably live for about a week, because it'll take a couple days before this goes up. But yeah. Why don't you tell us about Book 6?
So Book 6 is, as far as the beginning of the book, Book 5 really covered getting into the process of creating G.I. Joe. So book six goes into book number five covered really the figure design. So kind of walks the reader through the process of creating a figure from a designer standpoint. And then it left off at pretty much where it was going to be handed over to sculpt. So number six covers the sculpting process in heavy detail. And so because different materials were used over the years, I tried to write in a way to where it went or where it eventually got to as far as materials. But I do have little blurbs throughout the chat or whatever the section, from the original creators kind of talking about previous materials and what they were using and how they used it, et cetera. So, and then you dive into what I like to call, is the gallery, which is really the bulk of the book. Covering all the preliminary sketches, designs, any history on a figure or vehicle. Of course, the written information's, much of the inspiration in that is from the designers themselves. Mm-hmm. The little blurbs or bits of information are either from people, those same designers, or possibly other designers or marketers or engineers or whatever, or whoever. And then there's some information that's even pulled from internal documents as well. So,
yeah, I've always seen in the previous volumes, you've got sort of like Hasbro memos where you've got notes from, you know, somebody high up to the designer, like make that boob smaller or make that sleeve shorter or, you know, whatever it is. I always like seeing those little memos.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff. And I mean, for each volume, I mean, because some people are like, have you read them all? I'm like, I've gone through them all and I put them all in chronological order as far as date, but I haven't read every single one. But what I typically do to prep for each volume, at some point I'll go through, once I have my list of figures and vehicles, pretty much all the books not all of them, but a large portion of the book's already been written. It's been written for years. Hmm. As far as the vehicles and the figures, unless it's something new I didn't have or something new to me, then I had to interview these guys regarding the newer information or the newer vehicles or figures. But primarily most of it's been written, but then I do add the little blurbs from the memos or whatnot. So generally speaking, I prep by just determining which characters and vehicles are going to be in it. Then I go ahead and I go pull out all these binders and I just scroll through each page and I look for you know, whoever the name of the character or nickname of a character or whatever the care, you know, what maybe be happening. Because the memos are primarily covering figures. I don't really have a lot of memos on the vehicles per se. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you found out that you didn't know and it kind of shocked you or surprised you that you threw in there?
Like certain, I mean, I won't go too into detail for people who haven't read the entire book series, but, you know, there's one character that's supposed to have an animal that got canceled. Mm. There's another, there's going to be another exclusive at some point, which I haven't even featured any of the books, which will be kind of an interesting exclusive. So I'll get into that later, but, different decos, for different characters. For example, for the bat, for example, originally the silver for the bat, like the arms and, you know, the interchangeable arms were supposed to be chromed out.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
So, yeah, I think probably that was due to cost or something, you know, yeah. They got costed out, but
I think that was in book four that you had written that. And I was just thinking, like, as a collector, bats are already expensive. and if now you were also looking for unyellowed good chrome also, just forget it.
Yeah.
I was exactly. Actually, in hindsight, I was really glad that they were silver plastic instead of chrome.
But yeah, it's just those types of things. I mean, you know, Declassified revealed a couple years back at JoeCon about the alternate head breaker and Zap, which... You know, I was fortunate to find.
Yeah, we saw those in your case at the Joe Show, at the SoCal Joe Show. You had them in your case.
Yes. Those were awesome. So the short fuse, though, you know, so I guess there was speculation, but nobody knew for sure. And so I was fortunate enough to come across a memo discussing the alternate heads and confirmed that short fuse was indeed supposed to be, you know, one of the other figures that they were considering changing. And is odd because I had a first shot of the head and I had, you know, shown a couple of people and I was like, can you guys, who is this? Like, I can't figure out who this is. Mm. And they're like, I don't know. And then sure enough, once I looked at the memos, I had some time to read through those. Cause that's one of the things I did look for initially was what can I find out about, you know, the alternate heads or whatever the case may be. And, so that was pretty exciting to be able to kind of unveil that to the public. And I think I unveiled it in the book first. I think I kind of waited and
nice,
you know, unveiled it that way. That way it was a big surprise. And I think that's a number three, if I recall.
Now, do these kind of things keep you focused and keep you wanting to drive to do more and more and more? Or,
oh yeah, you mean like little bits of information? Yeah. You mean
sure?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's always interesting. Like I said, I think that's one of the reasons I don't try to overhaul myself and read everything. Is because every time I do a new series or a new book, you know, and I go searching for that information, you know, I just put little sticky tabs on the sleeves I have holding everything. And it just excites me because I read new information like, oh, that's kind of cool. Oh, I didn't know that about him. You know what I mean? So yeah. It does keep the mind sharp as far as the interest and as far as the information goes.
Is it kind of like going on a treasure hunt when you have, you know, all these, I would assume, boxes full of old memos about these toys and you're just looking for little nuggets of information that you didn't know before rather than boring day-to-day memos?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I mean, I have everything in binders and stuff. Most of the stuff I've been able to acquire, you know, I've got archival sleeves and stuff like that because, you know, one of the things I want to do is preserve this stuff as much as I can in the best way.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so it's nice to flip through and, you know, if people come over or whatnot, you know, they're able to kind of look through it. Not too often. People are more interested in like any art, but I definitely know of a few people. Like I took one binder to the JoeCon just to kind of show at night to a couple people and they were, you know, sitting there for a couple hours just looking through the binder and, you know, reading the different information that was available.
That just sounds like fun.
Yeah.
As a Joe collector, I just enjoy going through everybody's toys anyway. You bring over a big pile of toys, I want to go through them and put as many figures together. You go through all those memos and all that. It's almost like the same thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
You find out, like, oh my gosh, like, this, you're like privy to well, classified information, yeah, sort of. You're like, yeah, ooh, I know something not everybody knows. It's exciting. And then you find out something that, you know, information that hasn't been released before. And that's kind of what I like about these books, is that you're showing, like, the concept sketches of different characters and what somebody might look like. I found, I think it was Major Blood, and some of his early designs almost look like Voltar. So, like, they kind of take that design and use it for somebody else later. And, yeah, there's some great things to find out about the what almost could have been.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, just some of the preliminaries. I mean, that's the thing, is the draw is the artwork, and that kind of drew me towards that, because originally, you know, my idea was to showcase my personal collection, right, all the carted and boxed vehicles, and interview the guys and gals who worked on the brand. So that's kind of my original idea was, yeah, I didn't have any of this stuff or didn't have access to it. So I remember I still have an email from Ron Rudette, and, you know, he answered as best as he could, but then he also mentioned there, he's like, well, you do realize, like, I didn't do the package art. And it's like, I think I knew that, but I don't know, somewhere maybe along the way, I was just like, I don't know, maybe I thought he had more to do with it. I don't know. So he's like, I don't know, because I was asking very specific questions pertaining to the card art itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, he couldn't recall, because it wasn't his job to do that. But then I got into learning more of what, you know, he did, especially early on. And because, I mean, Ron was one of the people, like I said, inspired the whole entire book series, but also was someone who I felt, if I didn't have his buy-in, then, you know, the book wasn't going to really go anywhere. Right. So he's one of the first people I needed to make sure that was on board and supportive in that sense, as far as, you know, he and I spent hours and hours, trust me, interviewing and, going through imagery and stuff like that over the years. So, and luckily, again, most of this has been written, so I don't have to bug him as much lately. Now, if I call him, it's just...
Does he still enjoy your talks, though, when you do get a hold of him?
What's that?
Does he enjoy your talks when you do get a hold of him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Most of our conversations now have nothing to do with Joe.
Nice. So, just talk about baseball.
We talk about whatever, you know, what he's up to, where he's going, if he's traveling, you know, he and his wife are going to try to come down here at some point. So it's just normal chat, nice, chatter. So
I've got a question for you as far as the actual creation of the book itself. Since you do all the research, and it seems like the research takes all the time, do you design the book itself too?
Yeah, I do all the graphics on it.
Awesome.
So. I wanted to know, where did you get all your material? Like, where did you get all the sketches and the concept
where
drawings
and
the paintings
the
and stuff?
Everything.
Yeah, like, where does all that, where did you, I want names, addresses, and phone numbers. No, I mean, where did all that come from to be able to put this book together?
Well, you guys believe in a tooth fairy, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, all right. There's a G.I. Joe fairy. You guys just maybe never met him.
What I'm not doing is putting Joes under my pillow at night. That's the problem.
There you go. I mean, honestly, early on, I mean, there's a few collectors who, it's weird how just time goes, how things happen and with time, because, you know, early on, some of the designers had these designs, and then they ended up selling them. So I did work with, you know, a collector at one point who I was fortunate enough to have a photographer go in and photograph pretty much a lot of the preliminaries and the pencils from Ron. He had a lot of stuff, and he's since sold a lot of it, but I was fortunate enough to have a photographer go in there and photograph a lot of his collection. Some of the other artwork, I mean, it's just been either provided from those who worked on Joe, collectors. That's pretty much, I mean, and then I've been fortunate enough to, you know, purchase some things too, like, you know, to see. And it happened in spurts. So, for example, Volume 2 is pretty much most of the stuff from Volume 2 on, you know, I've had now for a little bit of time. But Volume 1, you'll notice, I think I used, I think it's a color study of Mutt, if I recall.
I think so, yeah.
As his page. And it's only because I just didn't have the presentation at the time of Mutt. But I was fortunate enough to pick up a bunch of the binders from 82 to 86. And so that included the presentation art, the sculpt sheets, the weapon details, and, you know, some of the memos. So that was a tremendous help in obtaining that stuff, because you know, a lot of these Xerox copies, it just depends on where they came from. Because right. I mean, there are some designers who provided some too. Sometimes they wouldn't be of the best quality. Sometimes they even be better quality than what I even had, because mine may be some of the characters later on, they would tape the Xerox copies together. So one of the challenges I do have when I'm doing this, a lot of the color art probably post 84, maybe even before, but most of that artwork has been folded. So there's a big crease line.
Oh,
down the middle,
so you
got to
repair that.
Yeah. So I end up repairing that in Photoshop. And then the same goes with some of these larger paintings that were done, you know, by Dave Dorman and some others. I have to kind of clean them up with, you know, Photoshop as well. But it's a little bit more challenging because you have tape and different color tones and stuff like that. So I really try to do my best with that. I mean, fortunately enough, you know, Dave Dorman was great about providing a lot of digital imagery of his art, which really is how I want to present it, because it allows it to pop. Whereas I was looking at an image the other day for Volume 7, and I was looking, I had a Xerox copy of it. It's one of the Battle Force 2000 guys, I think Blocker.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of looking at that, and then I recalled that David sent me an image of it, of him, and I'm like, oh, this is like so much more vibrant and better looking. So I do try to use the best quality image I have as well.
So you borrow a lot of images and you have a lot of your own.
Right? Exactly.
Is there stuff out there that you heard, hey, maybe this is available, I better go jump on it quick, and you have to go travel to get it, or pretty much everything you're able to do from home?
For the most part, people are willing to scan it in or take photos of it.
Nice.
So I've been pretty fortunate enough with the support from people who are willing to, you know, take it to work, scan it in for me. Or, you know, they'll use their home scanner or whatever the case is. Sometimes I have had people send me stuff to where I scan it and then I send it back to them.
Okay.
So there's a trust that's there that's been built to where, you know, they trust me enough to send, you know, original art or original sketches to scan in and preserve and then send them back to them to, you know, keep.
Oh, so, I'd be nice. Nervous for both of you.
Oh yeah, that's a little nerve wracking shipping. But
so I my one more question here before we talk a little bit about the current Kickstarter. Each book itself is, I think, laid out chronologically, but your series of volumes 1 through 6 now are not chronological. They seem fairly shotgun in who you choose to depict in each book. How does that process come about? Like, how do you pick who goes in what volume?
The G.I. Joe fairy. No, honestly, you know, I was asked this recently too from someone else. And Volume 1, the reason I did it that way in Volume 1 was, you know, I wasn't sure if I wasn't sure if the series would really take off. I wasn't sure if the support would be there. I didn't know if anything else was going to happen, you know, from a different point of view. But so I wanted to make sure that I recognized as many people as I could in that first volume from all types of departments. That's why you'll see, you know, I try to include anybody and everybody I talk to at some point, to be honest with you.
Okay, so the figures you choose are more reflective of the creators.
The first volume was built that way.
Okay.
So Number 1 was built that way, where it was more about, you know, I want to put some key stuff in there, but I wanted to recognize everybody who worked on the brand, you know, because if I did a chronological order, I mean, some of these guys, we may just be touching upon them now. Who knows?
Right.
And so I really wanted to recognize the brand team, because that's really what the whole book's about. And also, you know, as far as the it is in chronological order once you get into the book. But one thing I actually enjoy doing is introducing some people too. You know, if you're a kid that stopped, you know, collecting or not collecting, but playing Joe in 86, 87, you may not know about 88, 89, 90, 90, you know, all those characters. And there may be some in there like, oh man, that's actually kind of cool. Or vice versa. You know, maybe you're a little bit younger and, you know, the late 80s was the time that you got into it. And maybe Deke was your first cartoon series in G.I. Joe. Hey, I'm just saying. I don't know how many fans of that. But, you know, let's say the Deke series was, you know, what you're used to. And then you get into some of them, you're like, well, you know, who are these guys? Which I'm sure they can find information on them on the internet, but to be able to kind of see the process and see some of the original art.
That's all, you know, Adam right there.
I think people would be interested. That's Adam right there. Yeah, each volume's strategically now planned out. As I shared with someone the other day, you know, I kind of have a list of A-listers, B-listers, you know, maybe a couple C-listers as far as when I look at popularity of a certain character or vehicle, I now try to spread it out. Because originally my original concept was two books, period, boom. Mm-hmm. And then a lot thicker books.
Well, how'd that work out for you, volume six?
Yeah, exactly. Tell me about it. But, you know, if I would have done that, I probably would have missed out on a lot of things, to be honest with you. So, for the reader, that is. I mean, I probably would have had to do editions, honestly. Mm-hmm. Originally I thought eight volumes was probably where I was looking at. But recently, over the last, 2 years, with some other graphics and information obtained, possibly 10, possibly 12 volumes.
Wow.
Nice. So still have a lot of work cut out for me, for that. But that's the premise, is I try to spread it out, try to spread the love out. So that way everybody's happy. You know, there's some really, really, you know, A-list, in my opinion, characters, you know, your Cobra Commander, Destro, you know, Duke, Flint, Lady J, all the ones that, you know, that we are familiar with either from a cartoon or a comic that were just popular amongst us as kids.
Right.
But like the next volume, Destro is going to be my big one, you know, where Zartan, I think Grunt's a good one in this one. He may not be an iconic character to some, but with what I'm showing, and Grunt kind of, to me, signifies the beginning of G.I. Joe, the Real American Hero. Mm-hmm. I think people
Grunt
will be
was
happy
my,
with what they see.
Grunt was my first 3¾ figure. So, I mean, that.
Well, there you go.
That's G.I. Joe to me.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing. He's kind of. Grunt's my guy. I have a run of him right now. So, anything. I'm always looking for stuff with his artwork on the package. Like, you know, I just bought a flashlight the other day. Some walkie talkies. So,
oh, man.
Unfortunately, you know.
Is it? Drew Haggerty has a TV tray with the Ram Cycle on it.
Oh yeah,
and I was gonna say Grunt is driving the Ram Cycle, but I think it might be Breaker.
Yeah, the Breaker.
Is it Breaker on that? All right, never mind. But that's an amazing piece if you can find one.
Oh, Drew.
I know. So, all right. Yeah.
I got a couple questions. Questions,
go ahead,
before we jump into the Kickstarter.
Okay.
Do you talk to the other noted authors like James Cavanaugh and noted? Palomo?
Yeah, I talked to, I mean, James Cavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Yeah. James, a good guy. I saw him at ASCON. We actually hung out the one night. We actually were at, I was at Ron's house and we had talked earlier and I said, you know, what are you doing? He's like, well, I might go home, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, if you stay, you know, let me know. And so he ended up driving up. We had dinner with Ron, his wife. We went back to Ron's house, kind of hung out there a little bit. And then, you know, he just ended up crashing at my room at Hascon. Mm. And as far as Mark Palomo, yeah, I talked to Palomo a little bit via Facebook.
Okay.
Once in a while. We'll kind of chat.
You guys all support each other
back
then,
and forth. And then Carson, yeah. I mean, okay. Carson and I, we've talked to either the conventions or on Facebook and stuff. So.
Right. And you go to as many conventions as you can?
JoeCon was primarily my big one. I mean, mm-hmm. The SoCal show. I mean, you guys are, you know, it's close enough to drive to. So,
okay.
That's something I'll try to at least make once a year. The winter one's kind of hard for me just because of the holidays, but, the spring show definitely is something I'm hoping to continue doing. I would love to go to more shows. It's just, you know, I have two young kids,
yeah.
You know, my wife and I both work. So, it's a matter of vacation and also, you know, I am not native to Arizona, so I do have a lot of family back in Ohio, so taking trips home and stuff like that. So I have to balance it out every year.
Sure. But,
so what's your day job?
My day job is I'm an enrollment manager for the University of Phoenix.
Oh, cool.
You're an author to me.
What's that?
You're an author to me.
There you go.
Okay, one more hard-hitting question.
Ooh.
Dan, okay? Yep. Hasbro just put out a memo.
Brace yourself, man.
They're looking for a new brand manager. Dan, come on. Throw your hat in the ring.
Who's to say I haven't?
There we go.
That's what we wanted to hear.
There's a big assumption there. No. I know. I've been getting some people asking about it. I was wondering if you guys were. I'm like, I had to ask.
You heard it here first. He's announced it. It's official.
It's out of Burbank too. It's in California. The job.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm gonna put my hat in the ring.
Yeah, I'd be honored to work on the brand. You know, I mean, everybody knows that. So
yeah, just remember, it's a temp job.
What's that?
It's a temp job. Remember that.
Well, hopefully.
Well, there's a movie coming.
Yeah, it's just a 2 to 3 year commitment, and then you can move on.
Well, we'll see about that. Yeah. So, I have a lot of ideas, and I would love to be able to have some of them come to fruition.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's been other things in the works in the behind the scenes that I've been working on. So we'll see how this all pans out, and we'll go from there. But I have certain objectives that I'd like to do, you know, with the brand and certain goals. So we'll see if the opportunity arises and we'll go from there, right?
Yeah. All right. So with the Kickstarter, as of recording this, there are 14 days to go. And you have 158 backers and you're at 10.5 out of 16,500. So you are doing fantastic.
Yeah. This is really good. It's, I think, one of the fastest. I haven't looked at analytics yet. But I believe this is one of the fastest Kickstarters I've had as far as the support that quick. So.
It was over 6,000 by the second day. So, I mean, people have jumped on it right away.
They typically wait till the last couple days before they...
Yeah, you've created a brand that people are familiar with and happy to get behind. So the cover of this one is showing the Dreadnoks. Looks like, is that an AGP vehicle in there? Can you tell us a little bit about what might be in this volume?
Let's see, on the front, I don't have it in front of me, but yes, the AGP has already been featured, so it's not the AGP. I'm not sure which image you're looking at.
What is that Destro, the hovercraft?
Oh, yeah, AGP. I'm thinking ASP, my bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you're correct, the AGP, my bad. Wow.
Jeez, man, come on, you're a professional.
Hey, cut that out, will you? In this volume, let me see, real quick, I can kind of run down a list. I believe I printed it out, but I mean, you have Grunt, Tripwire, the AGP, the Dragonfly, which is all-time favorite. I mean, the imagery that I have for that is just beautiful. Wild Bill, Zartan, some really cool stuff. So when you guys were asking about little snippets of information, there's some fun stuff with Zartan. I think everybody will be happy to see.
Nice.
The Dreadnoks, you know, I thought they should go with Zartan as well. I got Thrasher in there. Unfortunately, I don't have anything in the Thunder Machine. So until that rises maybe later, which that has happened, actually, where sometimes the artwork will surface after the fact. And, you know, I still haven't figured out what I want to do. I don't know, maybe the last volume I'll kind of throw into, like, the bonus material or something. Like, for example, the Phantom. I actually now have imagery of the Phantom presentation art, which is beautiful piece, beautifully beautiful piece by Bill Young. I just didn't have it at the time, so I hope to feature that at some point. Mainframe, Nullifier, once again AGP, Budo, Hardball, Downtown. I'm just looking at everything right now. Alley Viper, which is really fun.
Oh, we got to see a little sneak preview of the artwork for that one. I love the concept painting for that Alley Viper. It looks so good.
Me too. Free Fall, Sub Zero, Heavy Duty, Eco Warrior Flint. I know everybody asks about regular Flint. He'll be in the next book. Cesspool, Dojo Slice, the Falcon and Viper Glider, as well as Pilot and Grunt. Buzzer, and then in this volume, because of the length of the sculpting process and the imagery I'll be showing, it got a little bit into where I typically show a lot more unproduced stuff. But this book, I'll have somebody called Anarchy Soldier, and then an unproduced character who I don't really have a name for. So
I think you should pick the names for them. If they were unproduced and weren't given a names, then it falls on you.
I have done that, kind of, but not really.
this is the Klingon Smith Native Trooper. And
What's that?
This is the Klingensmith Trooper, and this is...
Yeah.
Show them that you are ready to take on this brand.
Exactly, exactly. I don't know if they want that long last name on any character. But no, it's fun. I mean, and there was, like, the Native American character who was featured early on. You know, I kind of made up a character and his name and his background, and Kirk Bazigian and I went through the bio card and kind of he made some adjustments to it too. So it's really fun to work with Kirk in that.
Which character
was that?
Which one was that?
You know, Kirk is great. Kirk does a lot of he'll edit my book. So he's already seen it, the entire book as well.
Which character was that you were just talking about?
He's labeled, I think he's in the very first one. He's labeled a patch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, is that the Dreadnought?
Yeah, that was the one you did the custom.
Okay, that's the one I did for JoeCon. Okay.
Yeah, Dave did a 3¾ or four inch figure of a patch
for the Frank and Joe at JoeCon. Yeah.
Yes, so I ended up calling him Rivets, and then the background of him, and I sold. I had some prints. Maybe I'll bring them to SoCal, but I had some prints of like pretty much a proof of it. So I had someone design it, and then. I laid it out as like a proof sheet. So you had the front, the back, and then I even had like the registration marks. I actually stole from an original proof of something G.I. Joe back in the day. I just kind of took the registration marks and borrowed those and put them into it. So it looked like a vintage proof. Of course, not with, you know, of course, with my own logo on it and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But no, it's fun. It's fun to do that. I was actually hoping to continue the series. I had hoped it would sell a little bit better, but I think it was kind of a bulky piece maybe to bring to a convention. So people weren't, you know, what do I do with this thing?
Right.
You know, I consider maybe even getting them cut. Cause I did talk to the printer about getting them cardstock cut, glued together, kind of like an actual proof card, like a die cut proof card. So, because I would love to do an entire series on just unproduced characters and maybe what would they have looked like on card for example. And, you know, that goes anywhere from, you know, human figures all the way through some unproduced manimals. Mm. I thought it'd be kind of fun to do.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, and, with, you know, a movie's coming out soon and, eventually the line will pick up steam again and, mm-hmm. you know, this stuff will be in the forefront of people's minds because of your books. Maybe some of these unproduced characters will get produced in future years.
Yeah, it'd be fun. It'd be fun to see. I mean, and that's the thing, like customizers, you know, that's another thing. I think the book can cater towards a lot of different genres as far as fan base. You know, you don't have to be a diehard fan of Joe to take interest in history. You know, if you like history at all, it's just interesting to kind of read through it. But if you're a fan of artwork, you know, a lot of that for you. In customizers, I mean, there's so many different color studies of different characters. I would love to see more customs of some of these alternate colors of characters, which I haven't seen too many, but I'd love to see more of that. And, you know, who knows? I mean, at some point I consider doing a contest of some sort, you know, just had to kind of figure out the means of it all. And then, but yeah, so we'll eventually get there. And then also I'm hoping here soon to relaunch my podcast, that I'd done a couple of years back alone. But this time around, I have Kirk Bazigian actually who's going to co-host with me.
Oh, very cool.
So, nice. So we're going to kind of get that launched. Maybe, you know, try to get something done at like quarterly, not too much time on his part. I'm trying not to make it, you know, take too much time from him. Mm-hmm. Which I know he'd say he'll do anything and he'll do it every week, I'm sure. but yeah, I want to respect his time, but, so yeah, it should be fun because I'd like to get back to some of these guys and gals and interview them and hear their story and really get it out there for everybody else. You know, I've heard much of it already. So, to really get that out to the public, I think will just reinforce what I'm already sharing in here, because typically the interviews don't evolve around, hey, why did you, you know, talk about Grunt or talk about Alley Viper or whatever. It's more about them and their history, you know, of growing up, mm-hmm. You know, what made you want to become a designer, you know, where'd you go to school, that type of stuff. So really a really inside look into the men and women who worked on the brand.
Yeah, no, I talked to Buzz Dixon at the last SoCal show, and it was more stories of just goofing off in the office rather than tell me about Falcon and Lady J, you know, or Flint and Lady J. So, yeah, awesome. We're going to see you at the SoCal show in May.
Yep.
Which this Kickstarter will be well on its way by then. So are you bringing anything exciting to show off at the show?
I don't know. I'll ask you guys. What do you guys want to see?
Oh, I always love the two-ups. Those are always some of my favorites.
Yes. Two-ups, absolutely.
Yeah, because I brought, I think, Hawk last year, correct?
Yes. I think it had the alternate head or something like that. Or I forget what was it. There was something about him other than just being Hawk. Am I thinking of a different character?
As far as the two-up?
Yeah.
Maybe. I think the hair is a little blonder.
Something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, there's some minor differences, but... yeah, I mean, I can bring some of that stuff.
Are you going to bring past volumes to sell?
Yes, yes. Okay. Hopefully number 6, of course, will be funded, and I'll have that. I'm already cranking on number 7, so you never know.
Is number 2 still sold out?
What's that?
Is number 2 still sold out everywhere?
It is, but I'm going to have to do a reprint, so mm-hmm. That is an option on this one, which I don't know if some people don't know about. You can purchase all 6 volumes, so I'm going to utilize some of the funding from this to go back to the printer and reprint. And that's the hard thing, especially early on, was to gauge how many, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do you gauge that when you're just starting out something like this? And so, I mean, I made enough. I give a lot out for free to a lot of the former Hasbro people who've been contributors. Mm-hmm. So I take that into account as well now. But yeah, it's just a science. And again, thinking I was going to do 8 volumes, you know, I didn't know how many to do back then either. So I've kind of done my numbers, number crunching, and have a pretty good idea of what I need to even sustain to, if I do go to 12 volumes, what I need to do per volume going forward. Which again, I need to also look into the other way around, because I always, you know, I need to front load it now. So there's enough for volume 12, but I probably don't need to do as many of volume 12, because after the fact, you know, you're not going to go back and say, oh, I need number 12, cause it's not going to be at 13, 14, 15.
Right.
So I had to kind of be strategic, the opposite side of maybe not going to in as many as well, but yeah, volume 2 will be available to answer your question. Sorry for the,
in the perks for the Kickstarter page, you've got, you can get the books, you can get prints. And then the very last one is you can get all 6 volumes, like which includes the reprint of volume 2.
The all-in option.
Yeah.
The all-in option. Yeah, and I mean, the prints are fun because, you know, as I always tell people, you know, get it, you know, you can get a shadow frame, you know, put the print in there. Like, you know, you could put the grunt figure inside of the, right in front of the grunt page or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, or the Alley Viper,
mm-hmm.
you know, put your loose Alley Viper in the frame with it. So. Yeah, I don't know what I haven't seen in too many people. I've seen a couple displays, but I haven't seen too many as far as anybody doing that. But that's what I would do. I just don't have enough room right now to do anything like that. But there's other stuff that's taking precedence right now. So,
well, all right. Again, for anyone listening, if you go to our Facebook page, we will have links constantly until this Kickstarter wraps up for where you can back this project. Opening backing is, I mean, you can pledge any amount you want, but $40 will get you the book, and I strongly recommend it. And so, Dan, thank you so much for joining us, and tell us about the history of your books, man. That's awesome.
No, I appreciate it, guys, and thanks for having me on. It's always fun to jump on with other collectors and fans of the brand. So
sure, and we will talk to you again in May at the SoCal show.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, so that was our interview with Dan Klingensmith.
It was a great interview.
And so he's out now, and we are talking some nerd news.
What?
And in a couple of minutes, Ohio might join us.
but why?
They're under a blizzard, so we're waiting for the Wi-Fi to be reconnected.
The Wi-Fi.
In the snow, so... Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about some movie news. Dave, give me the movie news theme song.
Movie news, the same thing we always do.
Have you guys seen Glass?
No.
No.
Oh.
But apparently somebody didn't like it.
But I've seen Unbreakable and I've seen Switch. So
Split.
Yes. Glass was great. It was really great.
I've heard mixed things.
Don't tap on the table. What have you heard?
I just heard it's boring.
No, did you think Unbreakable was boring?
Yes.
Oh,
but I loved it. No, but I loved it. It wasn't fast paced.
No, and neither mm-hmm. none of them are.
Okay,
but that's his deal. It's paced like a drama,
mm-hmm.
and that's it's a superhero movie, but it's a drama superhero movie.
Highly recommended.
I thought they're great character studies. I think he's back in really good form, like mm-hmm. he was with Unbreakable. They really get into Professor X's character. What's that actor's name?
Shit.
James McAvoy.
They get into James McAvoy, who does, I think, his character has like 25 personalities, and you see like 22 of them on screen.
Nice. Okay.
And sometimes he's in a conversation between three or four people at the same time within the scene. He's fantastic.
That's cool.
I definitely, and you can tell which character he is by body language and subtle cues, mm-hmm. things like that. He did fantastic. I think it's Oscar worthy for his performance.
So according to the notes, it looks like Brian thought it was terrible.
I don't know. I'm assuming Brian wrote that, and that's why he's not on the podcast
Brian
right
thinks
now.
Everything's terrible though.
Well, he's in Ohio. I mean,
my wife always hated Unbreakable because she thought, it's boring. It's a comic book movie. Nothing happens. And I'm like, no, but that's the thing is it's just a talkie comic book movie. It's not a Iron Man comic book movie.
Hell, you don't even know it is a comic book movie until the last act.
Yeah. And watching it now as a comic book fan, you watch Unbreakable and just like the framing of a lot of the, mm-hmm. the scenes are super comic book influenced. Same thing in Glass. A lot of it's there. The color is used to identify the different characters and who they stand for, and, including some other characters, if you're paying attention, that are in it also. Color plays a part, it's really well done. I enjoyed it. There was only one scene where all three of them are together. Bruce Willis and Samuel Jackson and James McAvoy are all in the same room, and they're being talked to by what's-her-name from American Horror Story.
Right.
And they're... she's a therapist. That scene to me, it was a good scene, but went on too long. That was my only complaint. One scene went on too long.
Okay, and that's the only scene they're all in it together?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. You made it sound like
it's the first scene when they're all in the same room together. Okay. It's great.
Cool.
I recommend it. Ghostbusters 3 is happening.
That's
for sure.
Pretty cool.
For sure.
That's the word on the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that...
was an actual teaser for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They're getting Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd. And
how they getting Harold Ramis?
That's from when they show that little teaser of them pulling up the tarp with the Ecto-1.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was just a preview to the Walmart commercial. My bad.
It could have been. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
according to all the information I've had, that is actually happening.
I think Harold Ramis should be the new Slimer. Ghost.
Oh, God.
Right?
But how about that Walmart commercial, guys?
The Walmart commercials, I mean, as far as a commercial goes, it's one that I will watch. It's pretty cool.
They realize that nostalgia sells.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, look, and that's where you get your G1 Transformers. And hey, we're going to pause real quick. You won't even notice. But we're joined now by Brian in Ohio, who is, I think he dug a trench in the snow to get his Wi-Fi up and running. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Not bad, man. It's really wet and cold out here, but not as cold as your place.
Yeah, it's tolerable. Not a big deal.
Yeah. So, Brian, we were talking about nostalgia in the Walmart commercial.
Yeah.
And what was your favorite part? I don't know. I'm off track now because between the unnoticeable pause that our listeners didn't hear, it was like a 10-minute technical difficulty of trying to get you on the line. Let's just move on to Aquaman and the spinoff The Trench, which sounds like a sci-fi channel movie.
It really does.
What's going on?
Well, apparently DC Entertainment has decided that since Aquaman did so well, being their best money-making movie to date, that they want to do a spinoff called The Trench, which nobody is going to want to see because it has nothing to really do with Aquaman.
Oh, it's so, just like a monster movie?
That's what it looks like.
I didn't even want to see Aquaman.
I know. It's just like, let's take the best thing that's in our superhero movie, remove it, and then put all our money into something else.
Well, that... I tell you what, in Aquaman, they're scary as shit. I mean, they really are some scary monsters that are in that, that 2-minute sequence.
Well, I can't wait to see the Jaegers fight them.
Exactly.
Right? Jesus Christ. I don't understand why DC can't get their movie shit together and just, like, pick a course.
Well, hopefully they will whenever it comes to Shazam.
Yeah.
That's Saving Grace.
There's a new Shazam trailer. I haven't seen it yet. What are your guys' thoughts that have seen it?
It is bloody silly. It's silly and it's great. So it's
fantastic.
Yeah, Zachary Levi being Zachary Levi doing Zachary Levi Chuck things.
I can't wait to see Shazam eat a $5 foot long. Right?
Right? Jesus Christ. There'd be a lot of Subway references in this
one. Well, the trailer starts out in a Subway. So, I mean, I think
it's there's subliminal. A connection there. Yeah. Hey, subliminal. I like that.
Is that Mark Strong as the bad guy?
It is. Yes, he is playing Dr. Oh, fuck, what the fuck's his name? You don't know. I'm looking at Dave like he
I think
would
it was
know.
Blackwood in Sherlock, so we'll just say he's bringing that character back.
Sure, sure.
Right. I'm looking forward to Shazam. I think it's got real potential for not being shot in the dark. And maybe, I don't know, do you think there will be a sky garbage showdown at the end of it? Or
there has to be a sky garbage. It's the DC trademark, sky garbage battle.
Sky garbage. I was amazed that they worked in the sky garbage into Aquaman. It was just in the ocean, though.
They did. That's the scene with the trench. So there you go. Just imagine what the trench would be.
What about the other Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel?
It looks Captain Marvel-y, I guess. I know nothing about Carol Danvers' character,
well,
but
I'm just glad Coulson's back.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was missing from
Avengers.
No, he's not. They brought him back.
I know, but they don't know that.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't. They haven't crossed the streams since they brought him back to life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tahiti.
Well, this takes place in the 90s, so they still don't know it.
That's true.
But it would be nice to see him come walking in and you know. You know,
scare the shit
out of like Cap, well, who thought he was all
whatever the fuck they're going to do with Endgame. Maybe that is the open door to bring a lot of people back.
Yeah, and that'd be nice.
Yeah,
and I would.
Silver.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'd like to see some of the TV characters cross over a little bit in Endgame.
I would too. I would too. So
just once.
What do you think, Brian?
I think it's fantastic. I can't wait for it all. I'm guessing we're going to have a lot of crossovers, whether or not we see it or not. I'm just curious what kind of nostalgia they're going to throw in there. You know, because the first trailer showed somebody, you know, showing her falling into a Blockbuster.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of 90s tropes are going to be thrown in there and be like, you know, is it going to be Skateboard Kids or something like that? Or,
you know, collarless
Burger
shirts.
King Kids Club.
Gecko shirts and
ooh,
stuff
hyper
like that.
Color.
Yeah. Hyper color. Exactly.
Rude dog tank tops.
Is that a is
and
that
air
a
walks?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't
know. I'm older than you, buddy.
By like 2 years. You're not that much older.
That 2 years matters.
It makes a difference.
It does.
It's
the difference
Wars.
Between me owning Migos when I was a kid and you not.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Star Wars, I think, gave us the most information we have ever seen prior to a movie release. They've given us nothing.
No.
Nothing. Star at the Super Bowl. Not even a teaser with the name or nothing.
I honestly think they're holding out for a celebration in Chicago, which is going to be in April, before they show us anything officially.
Yeah, there won't be anything until a celebration.
Yeah. But this week we had some costume designs drop, and that's the link I shared in there.
Yep.
And it's nothing really too cool. I mean, there's an alien in there that's kind of cool looking. And then Billy Dee Williams wearing the yellow shirt that he wore, that young Lando wore in the Solo movie.
Yeah, the yellow shirt. And,
yeah.
You know, Rey's got sort of her monotone.
She's wearing
colors.
White. So yeah. She's not in brown. She's not in gray. She's just full on white. And for some reason, they put Kylo Ren back in a helmet.
Okay.
Which, okay, I guess.
Sure. This guy here looks like Lando in his skiff disguise.
Does kind of look like it, yeah.
And then you've got this droid that has the head that looks like it's from
Pixar. Looks like the Pixar.
No, it's Spy versus Spy head.
Oh yeah, kind of does.
That long pointy right nose and a wheel.
Yeah.
Like okay,
it it's looks like BB-8's girlfriend.
Honestly, it looks like a megaphone glued to a unicycle.
Yes, right? It does. Yes, it does.
So, actually, come on. Maybe it's time for Star Wars to wrap it up. If this is where our droids are getting to, megaphone on a unicycle. We've got another Admiral Akbar character.
Yeah, Poe's looking like a scoundrel.
He looks like a guerrilla fighter.
I think that's the point. Yeah. I think that's where they're headed.
Can't wait for that to be come out. What was the rumor? The Balance of the Force is going to be the title. I don't think that's going to be it.
I don't think it's it either. They're just people making shit up with the lack of news.
Somebody had found in the coding to a Star Wars website, it showed that title. But, I mean, that could be for an app.
But that was it, though? I mean, could it just be a Redditor making shit up?
Could be a placeholder. Yeah. No, but somebody on Reddit who's like, I have access to Star Wars, this and that, and I found this coding, and it's called, you know, the Balance of the Force. I think that's too clumsy of a title.
It's boring.
And they don't typically use the same wording within a trilogy, and they've already used The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So I don't see them using something with Force in the title a third time.
I agree.
So
yeah,
Force to be reckoned with.
Ooh, there we go. There we go.
That's a good one.
There we go. Good one, Bri.
Is there going to be a prequel to Rogue One?
Is there going to be a prequel to Rogue One?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, it was called Revenge of the Sith.
Rebels.
Rebel. Yes, actually, Rebels is your prequel to Rogue One.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think that.
Okay, so actually there is some truth to that, because they've announced the Cassian Andor TV series that they're going to do on the Disney Plus app.
That's what it is.
Which kind of brings us to some of what Brian's frustrations, I believe, are with all the apps with content out there.
It's at this point you might as well just either get cable or just get a service, because you're going to be paying the same amount by the time you get Hulu, Netflix, Disney, CBS.
Yeah, but for the money,
whatever else is coming out there,
for the money, DC will get my money, because there you've got your Marvel content and you've got your Star Wars content. DC, they've got I think Jesse subscribes to DC and he gave me his login, so one day I will log in and watch something, but all the DC stuff looks unwatchable in my opinion.
Yeah, you said DC, but I think you meant the Disney app will get your money.
Oh, did I say Disney?
Yeah,
I meant Disney app. The Disney app will get all my money.
If it's not too expensive, I would probably pay for the Disney app also. Yeah, especially if all of the Marvel movies and everything like that are pulled off of Netflix.
That's the rumor.
Yeah, then I'd probably do the Disney. But if Disney does it, like, I want to see all of Rebels and all of Clone Wars and all of everything put on there if I'm going to be paying for it. But
that's supposed to be what they're doing.
You know, I canceled my cable, and the only thing I'm paying for right now is Netflix and Hulu. So I'm coming out ahead currently. So I've still got room to do maybe two or three more apps before
Did you see the Tubi app has all the G.I. Joe on it?
No, I did not.
I think that's a free app, too.
It's a free app. It has all of the Era, all the Deke, all the Sigma 6, and all G.I. Joe content, free.
I'll have to check that out. What's it? Tubi?
Tubi. T-U-B-I.
All right.
So, now free app. Is it free or is it ad-supported?
Free app. No, they play an ad. Like, on commercial breaks, they play one ad in each episode.
Okay. Oh, just one ad? That's pretty
just
good.
One ad.
That's not bad. Yeah. So, the CBS All Access, I mean, that one, to me, I keep saying no, I don't want it, but then I went and bought Discovery on DVD, and it's fucking amazing. It's a great Star Trek show. And now they've got a Picard show coming out,
right,
and it takes place, you know, as he's in the old folks' home or something, and it's tempting. I am very
tempted. The New Adventures of Old Picard.
There you go. And
I think it's time to check back in with Captain Kirk and that tight-ass red sweater and his horses. And
I'm glad my family doesn't listen to this, because what I'm about to say would probably piss my mom off big time, and that is William Shatner now looks like my grandmother did before she died.
Oh,
so I see William Shatner on TV, and I'm like, why is my grandmother on? Oh, that's Kirk. Oh, okay.
Nana, is that you?
Right.
That's great.
Give me some butterscotch.
Butterscotch candy.
I've been watching Vudu for all my digital movie content and stuff, right. And they have free movies you can watch on there that are ad-supported. But the ad breaks, they're kind of randomly played. It's almost like every 20 minutes there's a break. Ugh. But it's like 30 seconds out, right back in. So it's not okay. Like you got to sit through like a 2 or 3 minute commercial break.
You know what you said, though, about Vudu reminded me. Did you guys hear that Ultraviolet is shutting down?
Yes, but if they've already linked their account. So if you had movies on Ultraviolet, they've already been ported over to your library. As long as you link the two accounts.
And that's what I'm saying, people. If you're not linked, link your Ultraviolet account to everything else, or else you're going to lose your content.
Yeah, I was able to port over Amazing Spider-Man.
That's it, huh?
That was the only thing I had on Ultraviolet, apparently.
I
gotta see what I have. I don't even know.
I had...
I'm sorry, Kevin. That's a shame.
I will say this, though. On Vudu, they have something that's sort of buried deep down in their code, in their settings, is a disc to digital, where you can scan your Blu-ray barcode. If you still have your case, scan the barcode, and for $2, you can get the digital copy of it. Hmm. For like a lot of your older movies that you may not have the codes for. So I went through, and I actually had to stop at 80 because it got really expensive at $2 a piece. Oh, wow. Yeah, the wife was, she's like, what's with this $160 bill to Vudu? And I'm like, yeah, mistakes were made. But now we have, you know, over 100 movies in our digital library. Right. Because I'm like, I've bought these movies. I don't want to go buy them again just to get the digital code. And I can't really trust somebody on eBay that I'm buying a digital code from. I don't want to just waste money. So right. I figured, look, $2, I'll invest it. And now I don't have to get up from the couch, walk 10 feet over to the DVD.
Hunt through it.
Find it, lift it, put it in the player, right? Go back to the couch. Now I can just stay sedentary on the couch the whole time and just go from movie to movie to movie while I literally grow into an amorphous blob.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
The only movie I have not been able to move over for some reason is G.I. Joe Retaliation. That's the only one that will not transfer over.
I did find some of them, you know, like Disney, you can't do disc to digital.
Okay.
That goes for Marvel and all that stuff. And there were some where they may just not have a library, have a digital of it, so it's not available. But I would say I scanned probably 120, 130 cases and got 80 and stopped at 80. And 80 worked. I was like, all right, nice. Cool. So that's about 2/3 of my library I could convert over.
That's cool. So. Did you guys see that Willow came out and returned on DVD and Blu-ray? You a fan of Willow at all?
I have it.
I may not have seen it. I don't know.
I quote it regularly when I go, you all great. That's
Daikini.
Yeah. Well, it was re-released in 25th anniversary. It's really cool. Yeah. I watched it for the first time in a very long time. So. Yeah,
I did that recently. I think it was one of the times we did our watch an old movie and review it section. And I just remember it being so unbelievably boring. Like, there were some action scenes, but in between it was just, okay, can we just go? This new movie needs to be 45 minutes less, and it'd be great.
I could see that. It's very Hobbit. Fellowship of the Rings. Actually, they go through the entire Lord of the Rings saga in that two-hour movie. You've got... the guys all walking to a thing, they all break up, and then they get with other people, and then other things happen, and eventually they win.
And then they get back together.
And then they throw the baby in the volcano.
And then they all dance. Exactly what I told Julie. I said, they're all walking to throw the baby into the volcano. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm like, eh. And then at the end, they all bounce on beds, and it's a very happy moment.
This is why Scott and I don't have children.
That's right.
Yeah. TV news. Brian, just heads up, we are desperately short on time here. We got to cut this off here in a couple minutes. I apologize if we got to you late, but anybody watching Orville season 2?
Yes, it's great.
Yes.
They are killing it with their content. Great stories. I mean, hell, they had a story about porn addiction.
I know.
Of all things, but like
a porn is porn addiction.
Yeah, and it was humorous, but approached like very smartly and with, you know, the writing was great on that. I was like, they're tackling like real subject matter in a very serious way while also kind of finessing in their little silly jokes here and there. I think it's been really great.
The one on intolerance over just trivial things, like the people who are born under the wrong sign.
Yeah.
That was a great episode. Bordas's mustache was amazing.
Mm-hmm. The doctor that fucked the robot?
Yeah.
I actually... go ahead, Brian.
There was a connection to Family Guy. I posted it on Facebook. I don't know if you guys, you guys saw it, but it was Lieutenant Kleeman.
Yeah.
Like, nope. They mentioned a Lieutenant Kleeman as one of the members of the crew, and Family Guy was like, we have the world's hottest new bad word to say, and it's Kleeman, and we'll tell you what it's all about when you come back.
All right.
I'm just like, hey, all right, they're connecting to the Family Guys.
I know they had their chief security officer, that little girl with the pointy ears.
Yeah.
Apparently, there was some shenanigans going on between her and Seth MacFarlane, so she had to leave the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They have a relationship, and the rules, because of recent events in the world, they're not allowed to do that if they're going to be on the same show. So they decided that she would take her leave.
Yes,
they'd still be able to bone.
Yeah, wrote her out. Patrick Warburton filled in for about 2 episodes. And now the new girl that's the same race as her.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, is I haven't learned any of the new races and stuff yet for what everybody's called yet.
Yeah.
I cannot stand her. I don't like her face. I don't like the way she acts.
I like the original girl. I thought she was fine.
Yeah. So, but this replacement, I can't stand it.
I didn't know that she was having a thing with Seth.
Apparently.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, it makes sense now.
All right.
So that's Orville. Watch the Orville if you're not. I want to talk. We've got a couple minutes. Brian, if you don't mind, I really want to talk about G.I. Joe real quick.
Go ahead.
The final 12 has started shipping. Dave, did you get the final 12?
Not yet. I have some on the way, though.
Okay. But the FSS has got one more shipment to go.
One more shipment plus the mystery figure.
Right. Which we don't quite know what it is yet.
It'll be Bonsai.
Bonsai?
We don't quite know that it's Bonsai yet. Tell me, Dave, some of your reactions on the FSS that have come in.
Some of the card art is hit and miss. Some of the card art is really good. Some of the card art's terrible.
I'm digging the ones like the
payload.
The payload.
You gotta go. Well, Joe Fest actually is having the guy that did
Adam Riches.
He's going to be having prints there. I'm going to get my hands on a couple prints.
Cool.
Because I just want that artwork.
I was really hoping that, people aren't super into that Data Viper body.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping that I'd be able to pick up a payload, I'll pay a cost. Mm-hmm. And then he comes out with his own custom card back card art. And I'm like, I'm never going to get one now.
Yeah.
He's immediately going to be $100 or more.
Mm-hmm.
But that one looked really great.
I don't have any issues with any of the figures. Even the Overkill looked pretty good to me.
I know. I wanted this run, but you guys boned me.
I was excited about the Captain Gridiron until I saw the way he looked in the card.
Yeah.
And then once you get him out of the card and actually put his helmet on he looks pretty good.
He's okay.
So I went ahead and picked up the figure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I have a Tiger Force Jinx that's on her way. I got that one from, that was seven. Yeah.
Where did Tomax come in?
Seven.
Was that seven? Okay. Yeah. So I got my Tomax. I got my Captain Gridiron. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the final 12 has started shipping. I've seen photos of everything out of the, on card.
Mm-hmm.
They look great.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad about the pricing.
Every single one of them is repaints, though, except for the Coils McDoom or whatever. Mm-hmm.
That is so fucking stupid.
But you know what? He looks great, though. He looks awesome. They tied him in with one of the concepts. They tied him in with Lady Asp.
Right.
That's her father,
mm-hmm.
Which was pretty cool.
Crimson Asp.
Crimson
Asp,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is,
and she's green, so that's how you keep the name straight. Is she's the green Crimson?
I thought that was pretty.
No, yeah,
cool,
oh, but... father. Who cares? They look like they'd be a team
because
they're in the same color scheme.
But of all the sets, that the Coils set, the Action Team Adventure set, is the closest to being sold out. Zartan on the motorcycle is completely sold out.
That's the one I kind of wanted, but then once the pricing came out, I'm like, I don't want it that bad.
Yeah,
I can't do $100 for 2 figures. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm out.
It's empty on the wallet.
Well, I still would like to see them in person once you get them in hand. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see them, but wanted to know your reactions to stuff.
Yeah, it's G.I. Joe, and it's the last we're going to get for a while. So.
I know, but the movie's coming. That means more toys are coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Snake Eyes movie?
Who's directing the movie? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Some shithead.
Some guy.
Wow. I think they did make an announcement of some sort, but
yeah.
I don't know. Brian, do you know?
Yeah, I've got 5.
Okay, good.
I've got two on order.
Okay. Okay.
There is they're the 16-inch.
The 16-inch. Oh wow.
That okay, cool. The 16-inch. That's yeah. who directs yeah. the Snake Eyes movie coming up. So yes. Brian, about toys, what have you picked up lately?
You know, I haven't really done much. But I did finish off the collection of that they have for the Fallout figures, the little 6-inch
little power armor things.
Yeah, little power armors. They actually had one that's the Wanderer, not 6-inch, but 4-inch.
16-inch.
Yeah, 16-inch.
I think that's five of them.
It's not the size; it's how you use them. but yeah, I've got those, and that's basically it. I really haven't done much else. Just, you know, been working so much that I haven't had time to do anything but eat and sleep, so.
All right.
Okay. The director of Snake Eyes is Robert Schwentke.
Oh.
Yeah, of the Cleveland Schwentkes. Do you know them? Do you know them, Brian? Have you met them yet, the Schwentkes?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just had dinner with them on Thursday.
Did you?
Yeah, we went to Krabby Bob's.
Ah. Excellent. I think that was in SpongeBob, right? Krabby, isn't that Krabby Bob's, the restaurant?
No, that's like Krabby Crab. I fucking have no idea.
NECA has got more TMNT stuff coming out. They've got Karate Kid figures and with a little dojo that's coming out.
Those look adorable.
Can't wait to put those.
They
the
just
turtles.
Did a Ace Ventura
did they?
Figure
For
with,
me,
with different
just
heads.
Fun to see. I don't. You know, they're just fun to see, yeah. I think.
Gary, has been having me look for Predator stuff. He's all caught up right now, but so I've been checking out all these different Predator figures that NECA's been putting out. They have a whole line of like the Hunter and the payroll guy and
the guy in the van.
Right. The
They've also got
the doors on the side of the van open up four ways like this, right? So that the kid can come in. Yeah.
They've got the arm wrestle Dutch coming out. I'm like, are you serious? Why is Jesus. This a thing?
I know. You know, all that needs to be is just two forearms in a package.
That would be awesome.
Then they would get my money. I'd be like, I'm going to put these on the wall right here.
You son of a bitch.
Star Wars Resistance figures are okay.
No, they suck, but Bucket's awesome. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. I need to pick him up.
It's a fucking awesome figure.
He's just a fucking hollow framework of with a helmet on him. He's actually got
articulation.
Got a heart of gold.
He does have a heart of gold. He's got a lot of articulation to it. But the rest of the figures are just like are very underwhelming, just like the TV show.
Yeah, that's too bad. I was really hoping for something new and exciting for Star Wars Animation, but
they're going to The Force Awakens. So I mean, in the preview they showed us at the beginning of this second half of the season, they are going to use Starkiller Base and destroy the Republic. So it's going to tie in, and then all hell's going to break loose. But in the meantime, I don't find myself caring because the characters are stupid.
Are they going to show who Rey's parents are?
Yes. Yes, they are. Guaranteed.
Because they're important, right?
Right. Do they show the beginning of Snoke and where he came from?
Absolutely, yes.
They're going to show who he really was, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then, actually, you know...
It's Kaz, the main character. He's really Snoke.
What they'll do is they'll introduce him, but there'll be Snoke Classic.
Oh, okay. What a diet Snoke?
New Snoke?
Snoke Zero.
Clear Snoke?
No, that's Star Trek.
That's the other step. Okay.
Yeah. Good times.
And then people get really pretentious and start ordering Snoke no sugar.
Yeah,
zero sugar.
Yeah.
Snoke zero sugar.
Snoke free. Or was that Star Trek free?
I don't know.
Yeah. It has
Star Trek free.
Crystal
Klingon
Star Trek
free Pepsi. Whatever. All right. Well, we've devolved quickly.
Mega Constructs, dude.
Oh, all right. Real quick, Mega Constructs, which Wind used to Raider. Be Mega Blocks, yeah. They're killing it with the He-Man figures.
Oh, so
they did a five-pack of the first five that came out, if you missed them.
Which I missed all of them, so I was very happy to pick them up.
Oh, did you pick it up?
I did.
Nice. You got some furry underwear, huh?
I did. Nice. I have joined the dark side
nice.
A little bit.
Nice. I love it.
But they also did the Wind Raider, their first vehicle,
mm-hmm.
and Evelyn and Man at Arms.
Evelyn?
Evelyn.
Yeah.
Evelyn.
Yeah, Evelyn.
You did pick up the Evelyn, right?
Yeah. And that's not how you pronounce it? Evelyn?
Yeah, it's Evelyn and Hemen.
They play bridge at the old folks' home.
Just these two old Jews in furry underwear.
Damn you, Evelyn!
My lo- employ a Spider-Man.
Who did we find out is coming out in the next wave after Evelyn?
Stratos and a glow-in-the-dark skeleton.
Scareglow.
Which okay. I was like, oh.
Scareglow.
I want Stratos. Triclops or Trapjaw.
Yeah,
or
Ram-Man.
Ram-Man. Yeah. Like, come on. But this, apparently...
I need Fisto.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Castle Grayskull playset. It's gonna be like 3,600 pieces.
Holy shit!
That's insane.
Fun.
So
I wonder what the price is because their prices are great.
They're awesome.
They're not too bad. So yeah. Let's see. So the Wind Raider. I don't have the piece count in.
$20 for 198.
I thought it was like 209 or something like that.
Like 198.
Okay, so they're on par with Lego. So the Castle Grayskull might run. Well, no, that would put it around.
Yeah,
$360
It's not going to be that much.
It's probably $150, $199 max.
Maybe.
So,
well, it's going to be a big set. Fuck, how big was Voltron? How many pieces was that?
That's Lego, though.
Oh, I know, but we're comparing.
But it was only $120 for Voltron, and that thing was like 45,000 pieces.
I think it was
16
in pieces.
1,600?
16 pieces. 16
oh,
pieces.
Just 16? Yeah. Well, no, it's five, and they all come together. It's five pieces that all come together to form one thing.
It took me a freaking week to build. It was nuts.
You're a Lego amateur.
I am a Lego amateur.
All right. We got to wrap this thing up. So let's do our social media plugs. You can find us on www.nerdswithattitudepodcast.com, where you have links to all of our social media for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and not Snapchat because Dave refuses to post any of his nudes.
Yeah, but you know, at least Buckley's on Grindr, so we can do that. Yep.
All day long. Yep. I'm flipping through right now.
We're also on the
rawlivepod.com, the Raw Live Unedited Podcast Network, with other shows like the Sarlacc Digest, Who Will Survive, the Walking Dead podcast, and a whole bunch of other shit that I can't remember at this moment. Sorry, guys.
That's all right. You can also, if you're so inclined to financially support this fun little thing that we do here, just kick us in a buck, maybe $5, and you can get some cool swag and neat things in return.
Neat.
We're on patreon.com/nerdswithattitude, and we would greatly appreciate it so we can keep bringing you interviews with Dan Klingensmith and Brian's Grindr account.
Spend a lot of money. I'll send you a painted figure.
Oh, there
that
you
is
go.
That actually that's used to be one of the perks. It was a $30 perk. You get a custom painted figure from Dave, but also for like $10, I think $15, you get a sketch drawing from Scott. And I forget Dave draws too. So we get Dave to draw something, and you just tell us who you want. They'll draw it up.
We're famous people. Let's do it.
But also you get like stickers, shirts, buttons, all that nonsense too. You can even like dictate what we talk about at one of the levels.
You really
so.
Can.
Oh yeah.
So that's on Patreon, and thank you to those of you who do support us on Patreon. We appreciate it very much, and I hope you... We always put up a little bit of bonus content. This episode is going to have some pre-roll that I took when we were talking to Dan Klingensmith, author, before we actually started recording for the podcast. So
very cool.
You can check that
fun
out.
Stuff.
I was on mic? Shit.
Yep, sorry. Damn Nobody it. Had pants on either. That's it. So, Brian, I know it was short but sweet. Thank you for joining us.
Miss you, buddy.
Hey, happy to be here.
I'm glad you're not dead in the blizzard.
Nope.
Hey, build me a snowman, Brian.
Do you want to build a snowman?
Stop. They're so litigious. Stop.
Hey, Brian, how are the kids liking it out there, dude?
Oh, they love it. That's great.
Yeah, good.
If the kids ever get to damn school.
Yeah.
It's like no school today, guys. Sorry.
They're going to have like a 3-day-long summer break.
Yeah, exactly. They'll have to make it all up.
All right. Well, Brian, why don't you take us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. You keep it nerdy.
Hey.
And you're that was Brian.
This has been
what's
Brian.
Name?
Oh, this has been Steve Jones. It's been Brian. Keep it nerdy, guys.
Dave's here, guys. See you later.
Scott, keep it nerdy, guys.
And I have been Kevin, and I guess it's already been said, so I don't care.
What? Fuck it.